Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. We actually have news, but before we get to the news, Hartley, how's the weather? Got to check in.
I mean, that's the biggest news. Yeah, it's still pretty hot. Yeah. Getting cooler now, though. England isn't looking very green anymore. It's more kind of a very dried out brown.
Well, you know what's not dried out and gross? Apple's new products that are coming around the corner and that were surprisingly released this week already. Well, they'll be out in September, but announced already. I mean, I didn't really peg this at all. I think rumors started ramping up maybe like, what, Monday night? I think we started seeing a lot of like, oh, there could be some new Macs coming. And then all of a sudden the M6 gets dropped in a new Mac Mini. And the M5 Ultra comes out in a new Mac Studio. But before we get into all of that, because that'll be the bulk of this episode, we then got event invites yesterday. So it's time. Everyone grab some popcorn and gather around. Let's play our favorite game. What does the event invite mean? Go ahead, Hartley. What are your takes?
Well, I'm a little bit cynical about event invites now. I think that sometimes they just mean nothing. Mm-hmm. So I will add that caveat. But that being said, people are pointing to two things on this invite. So the image, if you haven't seen it yet, is a picture of an Apple logo kind of in a lens flare in a clear sky. So the first thing that stands out is obviously the sky. It's sky blue. We are expecting the new iPhone 18 Pro to be available in sky blue. So I guess maybe that's one I'm more inclined to believe. The second one, which I think is a little bit more of a stretch, is in showing this kind of lens flare, it could potentially be hinting at the variable aperture camera that we're expecting for the iPhone 18 Pro, but I'm not really sure how much I believe that.
Right. So I don't know. I think I used to be the one that said that these don't usually mean anything, but lately I think I'm starting to change my tune a little bit. This one, I'm trying to find it. Was it the Apple China one? So the Apple China invites said it translated to a new chapter unfolds. Let's shine. Obviously, I mean, come on. The unfolds is pretty.
This has been a source of contention online. So okay. It looks like that is more of a Google Translate decision than it is an authentic translation.
Is Google just trying to make news?
I don't know. I mean, Chinese is a very complicated language, so
sure.
I think that a better description is a new chapter happens, a new chapter occurs. It's not necessarily like, I think it's just coincidence that the most appropriate word is unfolds, but I don't think that it means unfolds in a way that we would interpret in English. It's not fair necessarily enough. A like for like from English to Chinese, but I mean, maybe the closest you can get is chapters, like chapter of a book, unfolding like a book. I don't know. I don't really believe a lot of this stuff. I think that people love to speculate. And sometimes I think there is a little bit of meaning in these invites, and the people that put it together maybe are leaning into some of the rumors. But quite honestly, I would really not be surprised, given the siloed nature of Apple's internal structure, if the people that put these invites together know absolutely nothing about what's going to happen at the event at all.
I think they put them together based on rumors and just try to make us feel like there's
and just try and have a bit of fun with it. Sometimes they mean something, sometimes they don't. But I don't know that it would necessarily follow that the person on the team who is responsible for creating this artwork would have to even know what's at the event. Apple doesn't normally work like that.
I don't know. I feel like the marketing team knows. They have to know. They have to.
But not everyone knows. I mean, Apple is so siloed that
maybe
the amazing thing about Apple events in general is that for the vast majority of employees, a significant amount of that presentation will be new to them. Even if they've, say, worked on the device, they'll have no idea what it looks like, per se, if they're working on the software or things like that. So I don't know that the graphics team would necessarily know a huge amount.
Maybe the person who made the graphics has no idea, but the person who told them this is what we want, come up with that and gave them the direction, like that starts at the top. I'm guessing Jaws or his next right-hand man or woman, you know, the person underneath them directly is the one who probably came up with this little marketing campaign for the event invite. And then that trickled down and like someone in marketing who had an idea on this knows. And then it gets down to the person who actually makes the graphics, and they probably don't. I will say, I'm trying to find it. Maybe I'm just like dreaming. I swear I saw yesterday on X, and it's not from Tim, and I just checked Jaws. He doesn't have it either. But one of the tweets or posts had like a zoom out of the Apple logo in the sky that we see. And it started at the top, so it looks like the fold, like the top of the Apple logo, if you look at it now, looks like the fold, like the iPhone Ultra being like slightly unfolded. The way it zoomed out, it just looked like that. I don't know if that was like a user-made thing and I'm just seeing things, you know, but we can really point to anything at this point. Obviously, we know there's going to be a foldable coming. Do you want to run through what we're expecting super quickly? I think we'll do like a full video or a full video. I'm in Mac Rumors YouTube mode right now. I think we'll do a full episode closer to, but what are we expecting, Hartley? Because it's a big topic right now.
So we're expecting iPhone 18 Pro, iPhone 18 Pro Max, the first foldable iPhone, probably going to be called the iPhone Ultra, the Apple Watch Series 12, the Apple Watch Ultra 4, and there is a chance of seeing some other products. Maybe we'll see the new smart home hub, a new HomePod mini, a new Apple TV. These things are all possible. There are also some new Macs in the pipeline, such as an M6 iMac. But realistically, given that we just got Macs this week, I can't think that arbitrarily some other Macs are just going to come in a couple of weeks' time. So that the Macs are maybe more unlikely. But in terms of what we are pretty nailed down to get, it is those five products, 3 iPhones and 2 Apple Watches.
Hey guys, just want to take a quick minute to tell you more about this episode's sponsor, Claude. One of the biggest parts of my job is researching upcoming Apple products, digging through rumors, comparing reports, and just trying to spot patterns before anyone else does. Normally, that means bouncing between a dozen tabs, articles, and notes. And lately, I've been using Claude as a research partner, and honestly, it's changed the way I work. Instead of giving me back quick answers, it helps me connect information across sources, organize my thoughts, and get to conclusions so much faster. Claude is the AI for minds that don't stop at good enough. It's the collaborator that actually understands your entire workflow, and it thinks with you. Whether you're debugging code at midnight or strategizing your next business move, Claude extends your thinking to attack the problems that matter. And honestly, I've been using Claude code lately to even help me with video editing. It has been great for cutting down a long video for social media, and then I can go in and make tweaks, and that has been a huge step up for my workflow. What I've also found especially useful is deep research. It can pull together information from dozens of sources, cite where it's finding things, and help uncover connections that I probably would have missed on my own. So for problems worth solving, get started with Claude at claude.ai/Mac. That's claude.ai/Mac. And check out Claude Pro, which includes access to all of the features that I just talked about. And of course, that's once again, claude.ai/Mac. Thanks, Claude, for sponsoring this episode. So the tagline is surprise and shine, which none of this is really going to be a surprise for us. But I think Apple caters to the real humans out there for the most part that won't have any idea that there's a foldable coming or potentially these new smart home hardware. What do you think is the surprise in the surprise and shine? Because I'm 99.9% sure John Ternus is going to say, but wait, we have one more thing, or however that line unfolds. And he will say the words, one more. Like if this is a Kalshi or Polymarket bet, I'm willing to put a lot of money down. Maybe my kid's future, that he will say one more thing. And it's going to be one of these items. My guess is the foldable, which isn't a surprise to us, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think Apple views these things differently. So from their perspective, launching a foldable iPhone after foldables have been on the market for so many years is itself a surprise.
Sure.
So that's probably all they're leaning into it. But I will say, it kind of brings me back to my first point, which is I don't know that a lot of the time these things mean a whole lot. I mean, Apple would say and likes to behave as though every fall event is a surprise and that there is no new iPhone coming ever, that every iPhone is always the greatest iPhone and there will never be another one. So it's just, I think it's just their little bubble. And to them, every time there is a fall event, it is a great shock that they have decided to hold an event in September to release a new iPhone. And they would never admit that that is something that they do with regularity, even though everyone knows that that occurs like clockwork every single year.
This is pretty true. I think it's been almost 20 years now that we're going to be heading into we've had a new iPhone at least at some point every year. And for a good majority of that time, it has been pretty much always the first, second week of September, minus a few, you know,
near occasions. Enough. It's actually, I mean, with the exception of WWDC, I think it is maybe the most consistently timed Apple event. I think the only one, the year that threw us off was 2020 with COVID, where everything was a little bit delayed and we had that weird iPad event first in September. But with the exception of that year, everything does run in clockwork because, of course, people have upgrade plans with their carriers that run 12 or 24 months and are waiting for their upgrade. There's a whole industry here.
Yeah,
It's just, I do. It is one of their quirks that you could say to someone who works at Apple, so you guys are working on the next iPhone. You must be. And they would say, nope, I don't know anything about that.
I was just going to say, you talk to someone and you're like, all right, so like in a couple of weeks when the new hardware comes out and they're like, wait, what are you talking about? It's like, oh, come on. let's move past. Okay, in theory, let's just say something gets released in a couple of weeks. You know, you have to do that whole song and dance. I get it. It's just the way it's always been. But I don't know. To me, I definitely think surprise and shine has something to do with it. I don't think that they necessarily just think that it's the iPhone only that is the surprise. I think there will be one more thing. Like I said, do you think, would you bet $1,000 right now that John Ternus would say one more thing? It's his first song and dance up there. Yeah, I think he would.
Yeah, I mean, I think he probably wouldn't if it wasn't for the foldable iPhone. But the last one more thing we had was the Vision Pro. Mm-hmm. And that was obviously a major announcement. We've seen it over the years for things like the Apple Watch was the one more thing. I believe the HomePod was. I think Apple Music was as well.
HomePod was a one more thing.
But the thing that all of these products have in common is they are brand new. They don't replace anything. And the foldable iPhone is, if you ever wanted an Apple product that is going to be a totally brand new thing, I mean, this is pretty much it. So it has to be a one more thing. It just has to be.
By the way,
and also it would run quite nicely with the order of things because you can bet that they'll do Apple Watches first, then they will go into the Pro iPhones, and then the one more thing at the end, taking up the bulk of the time, will be the iPhone Ultra.
Yeah, which means no smart home products. I mean,
it's possible they could certainly do the Apple TV and the HomePod Mini pretty quickly. Those are not expected to get radical upgrades. The Smart Home Hub, I honestly don't know, because on the whole, Apple's events in recent years have skewed to be far shorter and faster paced, maybe with fewer announcements. But I'm just not sure about how this is going to pan out with the kind of the structure of what they have left to announce, because at an earlier point in the cycle, we were expecting the MacBook Ultra with the touchscreen and all this stuff toward the end of the year. But now they've got some relatively unexciting Mac upgrades in store. They could probably be a press release. Are they really going to do a whole smart home event? I think they probably should. I think that would really help to build enthusiasm. But Apple doesn't always seem to do what I think they should. So maybe it will just be a little aside at this event.
I mean, I would love for it to be now, but I think you could do a whole event based on just not only the smart home hub, because that's a completely new thing as well, but like if Apple TV has new Siri capabilities in the HomePod, like give us demos and examples of how that's going to work and make our lives better. There's meat there that you can do. Granted, the rest of the product is kind of boring, but like...
I mean, there is a lot of work going into the smart home, and we can definitely do a dedicated episode on this at some time soon if that's what people want to hear, because we've got the HomePod Mini, full-size HomePod, Apple TV. We've got the smart doorbell as well, which is one of these weird things that is absolutely coming. Then let's not forget that that smart home hub has two configurations, one that's wall mounted and one that has a speaker with it. And then there's even a security camera. That's a whole load of products. Surely that's enough for an event.
Yeah. Like let's do it. Let's get it going. Well, aside from that event information that we had, we also had a very busy week. As I mentioned earlier, the new Mac Mini finally dropped and the new Mac Studio finally dropped. And I wasn't expecting the M6 to make such an early appearance, or at least before, just weird timing, before the Apple event for the iPhones. And
yeah, so this is the first time, I believe, that Apple's latest chip technology has debuted in an M series chip, which may seem a little counterintuitive, but actually all of the M series chips are derivatives of the A series chips. It's slightly misleading how they are branded differently, because we imagine the M family as its own thing and the A series as its own thing. But actually that they are basically the same. They scale upward. And the M version of a chip is just a more powerful version with more cores of that, of whatever A series chip there is. So usually these have followed the iPhone event in like October time with something like the M5 chip last year. Well, that was a take on the the A19 chip last year. But now we are expecting the A20 chip to come out, and that will be based on it won't be based on M6. M6 will be based on it, but we've just had M6 announced. So that is a first, and it means that we get a bit of visibility on some of this stuff that's been rumored for a long time with this next chip generation, which is Apple's first 2-nanometer chip. So Apple's using TSMC's N2 node, which is which is the first generation of its 2-nanometer technology. Apple usually uses like 3 generations of it. So we just are moving off the 3rd generation 3-nanometer onto the 1st generation 2-nanometer. So that is significant. Ordinary people won't care.
I don't care.
It is a thing.
Not saying that to you. It's just like, I don't even care. So like if I... someone who does this for a living, I would say I'm a nerd. Like, I do care about nerdy things. At this point, with all of this stuff, and I know it's groundbreaking, and I know it's impressive, and, like, Apple's doing really well with this, but, like, I don't notice any performance increases, and more importantly, any performance decreases lately over the last few years of my chips. We will see. I have an M6 coming. I've got an Ultra coming. I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to notice much of a difference, I'll be honest with you. But
I mean, generation over generation, certainly from M5, you're not going to see very much. But as ever, especially now, the Mac is not something that is designed to be upgraded annually or even every 24 months. I mean,
well, my Mac Studio's got an M3 Ultra, right? So
many
people
can run a Mac for 5 years before they'll even think about upgrading. Yeah. So you need to have that technology available. And there are some significant enhancements with this chip. I would pull out two more in addition to 2-nanometer, which obviously means that the chip is built on a smaller process, so it's denser, there's more transistors there, that kind of stuff's obvious. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that this is the first Apple chip to have 3 kinds of core. So historically, Apple chips have had like efficiency and performance cores, and then last year with the M5, it introduced... may have been the M5 Pro and M5 Max that introduced the Super Core. And they replaced the performance cores.
Yeah.
But the M6 has all 3. So these are 3 specialized cores Ultimately, for different purposes, you still have the efficiency cores and the performance cores, but now you have super cores at the top end, which are optimized for single-threaded performance. So it's just an example of how Apple is able to kind of differentiate itself in the market and specialize its chips towards specific tasks, which is why they are so performative in so many workflows. The other one, and maybe the biggest one, is the added neural engine. And this, to me, seems like a pretty big deal because for generations now, I mean, it's been years, every single M series chip has had a 16 core neural engine, which has been used for, effectively, it's used for on-device AI, machine learning, that kind of thing. So it's increasingly heavily used. But that has largely been something that Apple has not adjusted. I believe that before that, they were 8 cores, and now they've gone up to 16. And I think that's been for quite a long time. I feel like it's been something like 4 years that they have had 16 cores. But now there are 2 neural engines which work together. So now you have got 32 neural cores, which is massive. And what Apple has done is the frameworks that leverage the neural engine are integrated in such a way that third-party developers and system applications don't actually need to be updated to take advantage of these added cores. They will do it right out of the box. So you should see quite significant improvements in terms of on-device AI performance, which obviously is the move of the moment. And that is really quite a big upgrade. I mean, we got a big upgrade last year with neural accelerators on every GPU core. This is another AI-specific upgrade that I think is quite significant given how long that neural engine has just stayed the same.
I think people are just going to eat these up for AI use. You're just going to, I mean, not people already do that. Companies already do it. It's just even more so. But also for us regular folks who were thinking about using it for work, I mean, it's going to be, obviously, I've just talked about it. I don't know that there's going to be a time where performance for these new Macs are going to be an issue, honestly. I think it just depends on what you need and how much power you need, as usual. But like, even with a normal M6 Mac Mini, the base model, I feel like you can get a lot of things done for most people out there. And it just still remains a good value, even with the price increases, do you think? I mean, that's kind of a big, it's a big jump. I know we saw some of it already with the current model that was on sale, or that I guess still is technically the current model, because these don't come out until late September now. You can pre-order them now, but they don't come out until September 22nd, which is quite a while. But I mean, we went, from $599 to $799 was the current price, but now this is going to start at $899. That's kind of the biggest news to me here, aside from the performance. Do you think it's still worth it at that $899 price point for the base?
I mean, if you want a Mac Mini, then you want a Mac Mini and you'll pay whatever you need to pay to get that machine. It is a shame. And ultimately, you know, if you really are on a budget, go and buy an M4 model and you'll be very happy with it. And that is a good way to save some money. The M4 machine is still fantastic and could give you many years of use. It's just a reality of the world we're living in now. And I think that in general, and this does relate to the iPhone announcements as well, I think that we are going to see people taking longer between upgrading. It's just a reality of these price increases. I would count myself among them as well. I think the timing of upgrades now is actually going to become even more important, which is, I guess it's kind of good for us because we provide a lot of buying advice. So it actually now is something that you do need to think about a lot more carefully.
So go check out the Mac Rumors buyer's guides. Hartley, how many of those do you do on a regular basis?
Well, whenever there's something new announced, I always do a whole bunch of them. So I'm working through them right now. I'm working on something just before we started recording that's comparing the previous Mac Studio to this Mac Studio. That was just announced. So just to understand all of those differences.
Well, I mean, we'll probably jump into those pretty soon here. Just real quick on the M6, what about the M5 Pro? I feel like that's not getting a lot of attention because...
Yeah, so this is the first time we've seen this with the Mac Mini where the entry-level model has a superior chip. We've seen this on the previous Mac Studio. Where it had the M4 Max at the low end, and at the high end, it had the M3 Ultra. Mm-hmm. This is effectively the same deal where you've got the M6 or the M5 Pro. That is a complex buying decision. It relates to things like whether you want Thunderbolt 4 or Thunderbolt 5, because even though the M6 is newer, it doesn't have a Thunderbolt 5 controller.
Gatekeeping at its finest.
You know, if you do more GPU intensive multi-core tasks, then you're going to want the M5 Pro. But if you do a lot more single core tasks, then you're going to want the M6. Likewise, you know, even with sort of AI workflows, that's not a straightforward thing, because you're going to get that bigger GPU with those neural accelerators on the M5 Pro, and you're going to get the extra neural engine on the M6. So I do think Apple has not made this easy for consumers at all. But what I will say is the vast majority of people probably just should buy M6. And if you are the kind of person who is capable of fathoming whether you need the M5 Pro for any sort of technical reason in your workflow, then probably you are the right sort of person to buy that.
That's unfortunate for that person, because it's almost double the price. So
yeah, so I would not recommend it for the majority of Mac Mini users. But this Mac Mini, I think the last thing that is worth mentioning about it is that, and it relates to this point, is that it is in a little bit of a weird place. It's in a weird place in terms of its chip split. It's in a weird place in terms of its price, because it is now a lot more expensive. But the other thing I would flag is M7 is coming. We are not expecting an M6 Pro. And maybe this is actually the confirmation, if you like, that that chip is not coming, because Apple is not shipping it with this Mac Mini. And it should do, really, if that chip is in the pipeline. It would not release the M6 Pro version later. That would be pretty unheard of. Look at what it did with the Mac Studio last year. It never gave it the M4 Ultra. The M4 Ultra has never existed. So by the same logic, we're not expecting an M6 Pro.
For the Mac Mini, or just in general?
In general.
Because I wouldn't be surprised if they did what they have done, where they skip it and just put it in like a MacBook Pro, and then it gets skipped.
So we're not expecting it at all. And this is the only thing to kind of bear in mind about the Mac Mini. It is good if you're buying that M6 model. You know, maybe you're coming off an M1 Mac Mini, and you love the Mac Mini, you get a lot of work done with it, but it's time for an upgrade. That is who this Mac Mini is for. But if you are a more of a power user, it is worth bearing in mind that M7 is on the horizon, and Apple is kind of truncating the cycle of the M6, and it is going to be the only M6 generation that we have ever seen that will only consist of one chip, because it's going to be around so briefly. And we are expecting M7 chips to start arriving probably in the first half, maybe around the middle of next year, which is not that far away. So that is why there will be no Pro version. And even the MacBook Ultra, when it comes out,
is getting
M5 Pro and M5 Max, not M6, because it's waiting to skip to M7. There will be no M6s going into any high-end MacBook Pros. The M6 is going into all the entry-level devices. It will probably end up in the MacBook Air, the entry-level MacBook Pro, the iMac. But it's not that family, consisting of one chip, is not going anywhere else.
Mm. Did you know that if you wanted to fully spec out your Mac Mini, you can pay $6,799 for it?
I am not surprised.
I am, honestly. I looked at that number, I almost threw up in my mouth.
Well, now you can pay like $10,000 for a MacBook Pro.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, none of it is good. But if I was to pay a lot for a beefed up machine, it wouldn't be a Mac Mini. I don't know why. I just wouldn't do that.
I don't know, though, because let's say that you don't need a Mac Studio. You just don't need that much power. To me, it would make sense to get the most powerful version of the Mac Mini.
Yeah.
The Mac Mini, especially in its Pro configuration, is very similar to the Mac Studio and just a lot more compact. Not everyone needs a Mac chip.
I mean, the thing that's killing you is if you want 2 terabytes, it's going to cost you, you know, $1,000.
And the memory upgrades as well are really expensive now.
It's just really bad. But Yeah, you can pre-order it right now. It comes out September 22nd, which what day is that? I haven't looked. Is that a Friday?
I don't know.
Is that when the... I'm guessing that's when the iPhones will be... Well, no, because the iPhones would be the week before.
So, September 22nd is a Tuesday.
Oh. Okay, that's random. So the Apple event is on the 9th. The 10th would be Thursday. So the 11th. So the 18th, ideally, would be the iPhone 18s. Maybe the Fold? I don't... Is that... That's a whole different story of whether that's
going to
actually...
Who knows when that is actually going to ship?
Boy.
It could be right away. It could be 2 months later. Really no idea.
Could be end of September when I have a little bit of time off. It's just what happens. All right. Well, moving on to the Mac Studio. We have an M5 Max and an M5 Ultra version. The M5 Max isn't anything really new. We already have that. So it's got an 18-core CPU with the 6 super cores and 12 performance cores, 40-core GPU, all that good stuff. The Max GPU is up to 50% faster than the previous generation, which is actually pretty impressive and huge. But really, the biggest story here is the new chip, which is the M5 Ultra, which is Apple's first quad die chip using next generation Ultra Fusion to join two dual die M5 Max chips. Hartley, do you have any actual practical understanding of what that means?
I don't know about practical understanding, but I can I can kind of explain it. So these chips scale. So the M5 is its own chip, and the M5 Pro is also its own chip. But the M5 Max is a little piece that is added onto the M5 Pro. It kind of plugs in. It's an extra little board, if you like. And that is what an M5 Max now is. And that little connection is called Ultra Fusion, which is a technology that Apple initially created to create the Ultra chips years ago. But it being used to create a Max chip is a slightly newer creation. I believe that only came in with the M5 Max. So a quad Ultra Fusion chip just means that there are four pieces because you've got those two Max chips that are made up of two pieces. And as always, the Ultra chips have always been a doubled up Max chip, but seeing as the Max chips now are made of two pieces, it means there's four pieces in there. That's really all it means.
Okay, cool. Yeah, four pieces. You know what else this all means? I mean, you can configure this to a 36-core CPU and an 80-core GPU. I mean, you could do 1.2 terabytes of unified. I mean, this is just a massive big boy machine. This is for definitely not me, even though I'm going to use one. It's just, I've been using one since its inception. I've just been upgrading with it, and like, it's never ever given me any issues ever in terms of performance, and definitely I'm not pushing it by any means, but I would love to. If you're somebody who's listening to this and you use the Mac Studio, we need real world examples in which you have a very solid Ultra chip in there and you're like, this just isn't working out for me. I need more. Like, I need to know what you've done to make it lag behind.
I mean, it's important to remember, I think, that and this has kind of been true for a few years anyway, but now it is especially visible that this is the most powerful Mac by far. Yeah. Now there is no Mac Pro anymore, and so this is effectively a Mac Pro. This is for Hollywood production. This is for very expensive, very high end workflows that demand an incredible amount of compute. And this should be able to deliver it. I mean, you've got 512 gigabytes of memory, which is not actually an increase over the previous generation. It just means that this configuration is available again because it was phased out, which is a huge amount of memory. Just the difference compared to the Mac Pro of years gone by is that you have no PCIe slots and no ability to kind of upgrade anything in there.
I do miss the ability to be able to do that. I still just take a look over to my right here and see my little, well, massive paperweight that doesn't do... I haven't turned that computer on in years. And I'm talking about the 20... is it 2018 Mac Pro, the original Mac Pro that came out of that new transformation?
That was the 2019.
2019, but it was announced in 2018, correct? And then it got released in 2019? Or was it all 2019? I don't know. It all blends together. I know it came out of WWDC with the studio.
I believe that was 2019 and then actually ended up coming out the following year. I could be wrong.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. It all blends together, man. It also just feels like that was like a few years ago, but it's 7 years old and it does nothing. It sits there. I'm sure it could do things for somebody, but the thought of turning on another Mac and actively using one with an Intel chip just makes me like, I just can't imagine doing that anymore. I'm so spoiled by Apple Silicon that, like, I don't know. But surely somebody's still using their Mac Pro and it's working out just fine for them. But I do miss the ability of like having an insane amount of storage just because of all the PCIe slots that I had. That was just filled up with, you know, I think we had the Pegasus in there with like 32 terabytes of stuff and then another like 32 terabytes via something else. It's crazy. I should probably like sell the 32 terabytes worth of things. That's got to be worth quite a bit now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just sitting on unused money there. But no, it's just going to sit there and be a paperweight. You can max out. Would you like to take a guess or did you already see it? How much a maxed out Mac Studio would cost? Don't look at it.
I would imagine it's going to be like $15,000.
It's not a bad guess, but you are under the amount.
Ooh, I don't know. Tell me.
$18,299. That's a car in the United States for some people. Not a very good one because those prices have also gone up, but it's a car. You can buy a car, like a new one, I think, for 18 grand. I mean, let me rephrase that. Any new car is a good car for anybody, but like, you know, nowadays that's going to be a very bare bones vehicle. Or you could get a really nice used car for eight. Can you imagine? You could drive your Mac Studio. Basically,
yeah. I mean, if you want to then add a studio display XDR on top of that as well, we could probably get it over the 20 mark.
But then you look at like, leasing. You can get one for $48 a month.
Yeah, but this is how they get you.
M5 Max.
This is how they get you.
Like if you're like a
plan now.
Yeah, and then $110 for the Ultra, which was like not that bad when you're thinking about like, okay, I'm going to use this every day for work. I would think that's worth it, especially if you're generating more income than that a day. Hopefully, I would hope if that's what your job is doing.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to surely, if you're buying a Mac Studio with an Ultra chip, you've got to be using that for actual work, surely.
I don't know, man. What do you say?
I don't know. Then there are people that buy like a Lamborghini and only ever drive it like 30 miles an hour. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some people that are just using it just to use it. They're going to be watching YouTube videos on it. That's going to be really cool. All right. Some other news this week we should jump to briefly. You can get a new polishing cloth. There's a brand new model.
I mean, this was the biggest news of the week. I don't know why we're only ending with this.
So is this Gen 3 polishing cloth?
No, it's Gen 2.
We didn't get an update? I thought we got some new ones in there. Because there's like the really hard ones. I hate these cloths, by the way.
Yeah, so this is a success to the hard ones. So Apple's had a bunch of cloths over the years. I mean, they used to give like the iMac with one. And
their best one are the flimsy ones.
Whatever. Well, this is a flimsy one. So this is actually the best upgrade this week. So the polishing cloth has been reduced in price by over 50%.
Yeah, which that's is the biggest
you can't
news.
Say very often. So it's dropped from $19 to $9. It is the same size. It's not been made any smaller. And it is a lot softer because the thing that is very annoying about the current or previous polishing cloth is that it is very rigid. It's just way too stiff, and it makes it really irritating when you are trying to like fold it away and put it somewhere.
I bought two of them, so I think that's what comes today.
One for each hand in case you need to use two at once.
Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I tend to lose these quite a bit, and I think they come today. So that and the brand new Magic Keyboard, which we should talk about. And people are asking me, and by the way, I have done zero research into the Magic Keyboard, but I'm 99.9% sure the only difference is that they updated the keys to look like the MacBook ones, right?
Yes. So there was so much interest in these keyboards. So, I was shocked. So
many people were mad at me that I didn't mention this in the video.
I wrote the article for Mac Rumors about the new keyboards. And that article was got a huge amount more interest than basically everything else that was announced, which is crazy to me. But I think that that's just because it's something that everyone's got one of these things. They're a lot more affordable and people are kind of intrigued by what the differences are. I'm sorry to say the differences are actually really not very significant.
There's no difference.
It is specifically for the US layout.
Yeah.
And that is used in a couple of other countries, I believe. I think it's also used in Canada. But so it does affect more than just the US, but everywhere else in the world, you know, the UK, EU countries, wherever it may be, there is no difference. And in fact, people in those other countries, such as the UK, have already had this new configuration, if you like, for a decade. So when I saw the new keyboards, because obviously I'm in the UK, I'm looking at it thinking, what is actually different here? And looking at my own keyboard. But the difference is that for some reason, which escapes me, in the US, previously, the keys actually are labeled with what they are. So like on the shift key, it will literally have printed on it in the bottom corner, it will actually say the word shift. Whereas in every other country around the world, it's got an arrow icon. The reason for that is obviously because these keyboards are used across multiple languages, so it makes it more accessible. And also, I think it's just easier to understand a glyph rather than a word. Mm-hmm. But starting with the new MacBook Pros that we just received, Apple finally moved the US layout over to glyphs and got rid of these words. And now it has done this for all but one of its other Magic keyboards. It's left one with the characters. I have no idea why. Maybe they've just got a lot of those in stock.
Go pick one up now and you'll have a collectible.
So that was the other product that was released that people were strangely fascinated by.
So when those products got announced this week, I made a video and I missed that the polishing cloth and the MacBook Magic keyboard, got updated, and I didn't put it in the video. And then when I realized it was already too late, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to pull the video for this. Like, that's not an important enough situation. But I didn't realize our thumbnail had it on there. And so people were furious that I didn't talk about the Magic keyboard and the polishing cloth. And I am very sorry about that. There's no difference in terms of the actual practical use.
I don't know, Dan. I think that you need to make it up to your audience with a dedicated video.
Well, listen, we did get one, and I'm going to do a video. I don't know if it's going to be a short. I think I'm 99% sure it's going to be a short.
And no, I think we need like a full 15-minute review here. Video. And then maybe you can do like a 6 months later video as well, a little bit later down the line.
I'm going to do, actually, that would be a kind of a cool, I have an older Magic keyboard, or I don't even know if they called it Magic keyboard, but I have an older Apple keyboard from like the early 2000s. That's just really cool, and I miss those. Maybe I'll do like a comparison between how far we've come. Obviously, those are wired, so that's kind of a
I don't think they're Magic. I think to Apple, Magic
they're just
means wireless
keyboards. Yeah, so this is a very non-magical keyboard, but I think it's more magical because the keys feel so much better, and they just give me the nostalgia of back in the day. And I mean, I probably won't do that video. I'm just going to be honest. After all the stuff that's going to be coming out, I'm going to be really busy. So I'll do a short just to appease the six people that were yelling at me a lot in the comments about why we didn't do it.
No, I agree with them. I would be furious too.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize, you got to move fast. And like, I didn't actually think Apple was going to release stuff before. Like, Tim Cook really just wanted to be like, yo, I'm leaving. Like, here's my last stuff. I'm taking credit for these. Also, a couple other things we should point out. macOS Golden Gate's release date was potentially revealed by Apple on the 25th of August, pointing to the week of the September 4th. I mean, we knew this already. It's always around that time. The iPhone's going to come out, so it's going to be around September 14th. What did I say that the iPhone was going to come? The 18th. So it's always like that Tuesday of iPhone release week. People in Virginia, rejoice. You now have the digital driver's license in the wallet app that you can do, which is nice. If you call 1-800-APPLE-CARE, it's now a generative AI assistant, so have fun with that.
Wonderful. People are having very much fun chatting to that right now.
I think so. I don't think any of these other things are really that cool. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Big week, honestly. After months of nothing,
unexpectedly,
really.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, after months of nothing, we finally have stuff. I will be at the Apple event. I am going to be covering everything. We'll be talking about it here. So obviously, if you are not subscribed or following the podcast, please do that. Go to macrumors.com. You can read all of Hartley and the rest of the team's great work. And if you want to hear my voice even more, you can follow along at our YouTube channel and watch the content that I'll be having put out here in the next few weeks to months. So yeah. And with that, we'll catch everybody in next week's episode. Hey guys, just want to take a quick minute to tell you more about this episode's sponsor, Claude. One of the biggest parts of my job is researching upcoming Apple products, digging through rumors, comparing reports, and just trying to spot patterns before anyone else does. Normally, that means bouncing between a dozen tabs, articles, and notes. And lately, I've been using Claude as a research partner, and honestly, it's changed the way I work. Instead of giving me back quick answers, it helps me connect information across sources, organize my thoughts, and get to conclusions so much faster. Claude is the AI for minds that don't stop at good enough. It's the collaborator that actually understands your entire workflow, and it thinks with you. Whether you're debugging code at midnight or strategizing your next business move, Claude extends your thinking to attack the problems that matter. And honestly, I've been using Claude code lately to even help me with video editing. It has been great for cutting down a long video for social media, and then I can go in and make tweaks. And that has been a huge step up for my workflow. What I've also found especially useful is deep research. It can pull together information from dozens of sources, cite where it's finding things, and help uncover connections that I probably would have missed on my own. So for problems worth solving, get started with Claude at claude.ai/Mac. That's claude.ai/Mac. And check out Claude Pro, which includes access to all of the features that I just talked about. And of course, that's once again, claude.ai/Mac. Thanks, Claude, for sponsoring this episode.